Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
Andrew Rutten, editor in chief.
Rutledge Doggett, site founder.
Andrew Stretch, Wyvern editor.
Wyvern editor. You've edited away Wyvern's name, and he's now Clive.
No, I just sometimes remove their arms, sometimes give them wing arms, and sometimes give them separate wings and arms. Mm-hmm. Just truly to confuse people.
Yes. This week. A Wyvern while. This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about Final Fantasy 16. So this is just your off-the-top spoiler alert. So if you haven't beaten the game, probably don't listen. Rut, see you later. No, I'm kidding. You can stay.
There's nothing worth spoiling. Too much tongue in the kiss between Sid and Clive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some would say not enough. Some would say
and not enough between old Hugo and Barnabas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Today we're gonna do something where we're gonna try to rank the best boss fights of Final Fantasy 16. So we have here a list of 10, and we bracketed them up. So we're gonna have kind of like 5 1v1 rounds where we argue about which ones are the best of those. And then once we have 5 left, we're gonna rank them from best to worst. And of course, our list will be the objectively correct one.
That's right.
So whatever is the best boss fight by the end of this hour or so is objectively the best boss fight in Final Fantasy 16.
They'll put that on Wikipedia and it will just live there as fact.
And they'll cite us.
That's where all facts live.
I'm going to put out right now that I think that I'm for some reason going to be the one that is objectively wrong amongst the rest of you.
I don't know. When Scrappy's reacted, I think this is going to get a little heated.
I have many thoughts.
Hell yeah.
Yes, but
and I'm just going to chime in arbitrarily based on what they look like. So
Right. Do you want to tell us? Because like right before the pod, you like scrolled through a list of some of the boss fights, and there were some that really piqued your interest. You mind telling us which one your favorite one is, just by like aesthetic?
I'm looking at IGN's list of bosses, and the first one that comes up is Gigas, and it's like a little goblin guy. Reminds me a lot of Austin on our team, so obviously towards the top. And then the second one is the Imperial Cannoneer, which is dude with giant ass gun.
Yeah, the big can. Those things are fucking annoying.
Oh, they're fun to fight.
It looks dope.
I love that. I love the way that they use their rocket weapon in the same way that like a Ruby character uses their weapon. That like half of the time it's melee, half of the time it's ranged, and then the rest of the time they're using it to physically launch themselves across the arena.
Yeah.
For such beefy guys, they've got some fun movement to them.
So I love that you've chosen a lot of the bosses where they're basically just big enemies that the first time they introduce you to them, they're treated as a boss. This game does that a lot. So in our list, I looked at that similar list and narrowed it down, and we all kind of narrowed it down from there. There are no, like, you're not going to see a Midnight Raven here. You're not going to see Gigas or the gun.
Yeah, I mean, we're being generous by calling this a boss fight bracket. This is really an icon fight bracket.
Yeah, like we don't have any of the like hunts bracket in here either, like the dragon and stuff.
These are all story fights.
Shit, no, actually, do we need to go back? Because that dragon fight was fucking awesome.
Yes, I agree. The hunts are very good. This is just purely for story. Because I feel like part of the arguments we're going to make here are related to the story, potentially. Depending on...
I couldn't care enough, but yeah.
Fair. I mean, you know... For other people, maybe for some people who gave the game a 9.5 out of 10 on TechRaptor.net, maybe.
Look,
yeah, but those people are high on arbitrary rules
that we're allowed to set for our dumb bracket.
Yeah, our objectively correct dumb bracket.
Correct.
So the 10 that we have, correct. I'll just list them all so you know what's coming up. Because, again, we're seriously spoiling everything, including the final boss. So, yeah. We have round one is...
Is
Efreet and Phoenix versus Bahamut. Just starting off pretty strong versus the Typhon fight. Where
did Clive miss round one?
He skipped it.
Oh, I did skip round one. Okay, so that's round two.
Round
one is Clive versus Benedicta, and then Clive versus Titan. Those are the two fights. And with Benedicta, this is specifically
this is a cool pairing.
It is. It is a cruel pairing, and this is that fight that's on the rooftop, not with the big Garuda icon yet. Round three is Phoenix versus Efreet, the very first big fight you see.
Prologue.
Mm-hmm. And that versus Clive versus Infernal Icon / Infernal Shadow. That's when he's, you know, he clicks in the buttons to accept the truth.
That's when he learns how to be Super Saiyan.
Yes. So that's that one. Round four is Garuda. That's the big Icon Garuda fight. And the Barnabas fight. We're just kind of lumping in all three of the Barnabas fights into one there, because they're all kind of, they're just one after the other, sort of. And then the final round is Sleipner, which is that guy you fight before Barnabas, and Ultima.
Please, that's that horse you fight before Barnabas.
And with Ultima, again, we're just kind of shoving all of the encounters with Ultima into one, because they're all kind of there right at the end, you know? So that's the field in front of us. I say let's dive into round one, Benedicta and Titan.
I mean,
the Benedicta fight was so fucking good.
It was
I'm gonna start on the heel for this. The Benedicta fight, for like, that's the first fight where you're really against something of a different scale. It's not just some dude, some guy in an arena with you. There's in arena elements, then she like flies out and like shoots stuff at you from a distance. You know, a huge part of that is, you know, getting your quick dodges in as she fucking comes at you.
Mm-hmm. So you're rooting for Benedicta is where I'm getting your.
I think I'm gonna start spicy. Yeah, let's one for Benedicta.
I'm with you on the Benedicta stuff, and that it's cool. It's a cool first big fight, and they like it. Sets the tone of what I could expect later on. Like, she's picking up like pieces of the fucking castle and throwing them at you. Mm-hmm. And that's just happening in front of you. Right. It looks really cool. But Titan's the fucking other one.
Okay. Here. Hey, Stretch. Yeah. I'm kind of on your side. I'm kind of on your side here.
No way.
I swear, if Titan's out in the first round, I'm done. I have nothing.
I know
else
my
to
vote
say.
Doesn't count, but based on the thirst tweets about Benedicta, that's where my vote would be. So,
no. They're all
lying for the meme. They don't believe this. Titan's not.
I don't
as
know.
Good.
There are enough of them.
Okay, Titan is something that I've been struggling with how I think about it, because I think Titan has been built up, right? Before I got to Titan, everyone was like, oh my god, the Titan fight. And you know, when you build up something, then it gets like the expectation gets too high. But I think for me, and this is going to be a potential running theme throughout this discussion we're going to have, all of the big icon fights are you remember in Kingdom Hearts 3 when you do a certain, I don't know what that face was, Stretch, but in Kingdom Hearts 3 when you get to that point where you build up the Disney bar and then you can press triangle to do a Disney attraction that kills people, you know what I'm talking about?
That's a great attack. Yeah, I totally know what you're doing.
All of the icon fights are kind of extended versions of those sequences to me, where they're very cool, but it is on rails.
Yeah, that's what this game is.
Yes.
Welcome to Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
So what's the problem here? I'm failing to see what the point is.
The reason why I pulled that excited fucking face is that that is the exact same feeling that I have with a lot of the icon fights. And that's something that I brought up in my review as well, is that a lot of the icon fights just ended up either being paint by numbers or slow and bullet sponge. So that's like, I absolutely loved the spectacle of the Titan fight. Like, thinking back, flashing through my mind, I'm like, yeah, that was so cool. Like, doing the running towards and having to dodge the stuff and like moving up the weird, like, you know,
the snakey
rock vines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dodging from the heads. And then my mind goes to, oh, but then there was the part where you're just like on the vine and then you've like maybe got to dodge to the left and he'll attack here and then you like beat him up a bit and then he'll move his head back and then he'll punch somewhere else and then you've got to slowly hit that as well. And for the parts that move fast and move so big with Titan, so fucking cool. Just even the ending shot of like the crystal being fucking decimated and it being left with what ends up becoming apparently a very popular baked good across Valisthea. Yeah. It's just like it wasn't as involved for a game that rides so much on its combat. I feel like that a lot of the big Titan fights weren't it.
Now, Auden, you seem
appalled. I'd say that's literally every single boss fight. So it doesn't make sense to the Titan fight to me.
That only
fits for this one. That's literally all of them to me, or that okay, same so, way.
So then, like, how is it not different from like the Benedicta fight, where you're like fighting something that is definitely like larger than you, you know, in terms of power scale,
yeah.
But it's still combat. It's still regular combat.
It is, and I guess part of it is I did not find the combat all that engaging. It was the same. You're doing the same shit over and over again. So I was like, whatever. It's a different arsenal of stuff, but you're essentially doing the same thing over and over again. Mm. It's just different.
I kind of get that, especially because with Benedicta, right? That's pretty early. Like that's before you even get. That's before Garuda, right? So you only have
Because you are fighting Garuda.
So you only have Phoenix as your power. So that fight, I do agree, is as far as like the combat encounters go.
Actually, yeah. I most recently completed the Benedicta fight in Final Fantasy mode with like my end game layout and stuff. So I may have slightly rose tinted glasses on it.
Even with Clive's full arsenal, it's still all pretty much you do the same shit over and over again.
See, personally. I think I would disagree. I feel like with Clive's full arsenal, that fight would be very, very fun. Ultimately, I think I'm landing on Titan's side only because how to put this? Like, I think generally I do prefer the vibe of Benedicta's fight. It fights like that because I think for me it's the idea of you spend most of the game playing as Clive and doing Clive things and like really practicing your timing and figuring out when to use the icons the best, etc. Right. So then when they kind of take all that away from you to do the big Ifrit fights, they're cool. But it's also like, I haven't been practicing this. So it's a lot easier because it really just is, you know, press square to win for most of them.
I will also erring on the side of, I'm sorry, if you're still finishing a point, finish your point and then I'll bring up mine.
Yeah. So I think just generally, I think this Benedicta versus Titan thing is a good lens for me to examine what do I like and not like about the different kinds of scales of boss fights. I think with just how Benedicta is early, I really like, I think Titan is cooler than Benedicta is funner, if that makes sense, which is why Titan's edging out for me. But I am planting the seeds for some thoughts I will have later. about other boss fights.
The very first Titan fight that you have did include a mechanic that was in no other combat throughout the entire game, though, which was pretty interesting. And that's that you could disarm Titan.
Well,
literally.
Yeah.
Because you chop off his hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to explain the joke for Rut, who's just sitting there quietly watching us lose it.
Yeah. See, and that's the funny thing too, is I liked the Hugo part of the boss fight. I found that to be the most fun. However, the coolest part of the Titan fight is after you think you've beaten Titan twice, and then you're falling through Mega Titan while fighting Icon Titan. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The part is like stupid in like
that's why it's so great.
Yeah. It's so good in the best. It's so dumb.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The anime lunacy of this is hearing this isn't my final form 12 times over the course of like 4 hours is pretty top. Mm-hmm. Fucking even your dog gets a power up during that time. Like your dog learns to go Super Saiyan. At that point. Like,
a Titan fight's like a half hour too, like from beginning to end.
Yeah,
it takes. Because I remember thinking like, "Oh, I have enough time." I was like, "Fuck, this is still going."
I think. I think yeah, like that bullet sponginess. Like, I really think that if the Titan's health bars and the phases were cut in half, I think that nothing would be lost. And I think that it would overall make it a more enjoyable experience.
I'm kind of...
How long did you say that boss fight was?
Probably half an hour.
Fuck me, dude.
Probably.
Shut up, Rut. You raid in WoW.
I don't remember a boss fight ever being a half an hour.
Each boss fight's probably like 7 to 8 minutes. And it's one if you wipe. So, yeah.
Although
the raids are like an hour and a half to six.
Hour and a half? I was like, yeah. Although you're just getting started.
When I was raiding in Classic, we were clearing Molten Core in like 45 minutes.
Well, everybody knows Molten Core then. It's like the most basic raid. Anyway, we're talking about Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Just saying the boss fights in WoW might be better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Titan was a good length.
Wasn't saying that as a negative thing. I was just like, it was cool from beginning to end to me. Yeah.
And I think Titan holds a special place in the game because it's the first real, like, this feels like a roller coaster. So it isn't as, because I think, Stretch, your problem with it was, like, it gets a little repetitive where it feels, like, samey or by the numbers, like you said. But I think with Titan being the first time you do it, it's kind of like, okay, like, this
is... I'd say it's the second time you feel that way. I think the first time we'll talk about later is the prologue, Phoenix fight where it really introduced you in the prologue. It's a really good opener. We'll talk about it more later, but
for sure,
I think it's the second time you feel that way. This one's just like amped up of way more. In terms of just being wanting to be like, hey, what would make this like cooler? And they're like, how about we have him be the size of a fucking mountain and you fight him? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just do that.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys played any of the Cyber Connect 2 like Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm games?
No.
I did back in the day, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because there's definitely some of these icon fights definitely gave me those vibes.
I can see that. I can see that
In a positive way. I'm saying that as a compliment. I 100% completed like half of the Ultimate Ninja Storm games before I just didn't have the time in my life anymore.
Right. One other note I want to say before, I think we're all landing as Titan the winner in this fight.
Titan is the winner. Yeah.
Okay. One thing I want to say before we move on is just something that I want to add to the Devil May Cry discourse. There's been a lot of that. Listen to one of the Titan boss fight theme songs and then listen to the Nero battle theme in Devil May Cry 4 and tell me the difference, because they are very similar. Like, they're not the exact same, but they're very similar. And I just want to throw that out there for any of the gaming music nerds out there. If you can argue all day about whether this is Devil May Cry, Final Fantasy or not, but those songs are pretty... I can send links to our chat after this. You can hear it.
While you're listening to video game music, also give a listen to Icy Peaks from Spyro 1 and The Amanda Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love ICP.
they were both done by one of the members of The Police, like the band The Police.
Right.
And they use the same melody. Really? I don't think so.
Yeah. But yeah. So just throwing it out there. Our first round, Titan takes it. The Titan fight is better than the Benedicta fight, but according to Stretch, only by a little.
Only a bit. Yeah.
Only a bit.
We've discussed on the past pods so much that like the RPG mechanics are, you could rip them out and no one would give a fuck.
Wouldn't change the game.
You could rip them out. They don't mean anything.
No.
So really, like, knowing where you are with that buy-in into the character action aspect of it is really going to mean a lot. And that definitely makes sense, you know, to why, you know, certain fights are or are not going to appeal to you. So I think that, Otten, it's going to be a very interesting... interesting podcast.
I'm going to be the... Because I thought the combat was pretty boring, to be honest with you, throughout the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know I'm going to be very different. Because I lived for the spectacle. That was it. I was like, oh, this is fucking cool looking. Oh, yeah, here, I did this combo again. Guess what? I'm going to do that same combo again. I did it again in that same fight.
I mean, maybe that's a personal problem. If you're doing the same combo over and over.
Well, there's no reason not to maximize damage. Why would I do any different?
I think toward the end game, there is a little bit of that problem. I think Rift Stop introduces the best and the worst thing in the video game. That ability where you can like cancel, like that Odin ability where you cancel anything and it like freezes time. Cause it's so good. I used it. But if you use it, you can chain like four ultimates together in one stagger session. But like once you figure that out, it's like that's the only way to do like the highest damage number. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why do anything else? And that I think is a bit of a problem. But this is a whole other discussion.
Odin did make it more interesting, the combat, his abilities. Mm-hmm. I'll say are definitely the most interesting.
And another DMC thing. I was chatting with Austin about this because he didn't tell me what Odin's ability was yet. And halfway through the fight with Odin, I was like, I swear to God, if this is just Virgil from Devil May Cry, this game is just Devil May Cry. And it is Virgil from Devil May Cry. His power is straight up the thousand cuts or whatever it is.
Hey man, if the formula ain't broke, don't fuck with it.
It makes me way less interested in Devil May Cry now. Suddenly to learn this.
I think DMC is a little more fun than this. It's definitely even more actiony, but anyway.
Next one.
Round two, Efreet and Phoenix versus Bahamut, and then the Typhon fight. The one in the weird white void.
Yeah. One of the definitely stands out as very tonally different than the rest of the game, compared to the last fight. Like Ultima's probably the closest to that, but it's so weirdly different than everything else.
Yeah, it is different, especially the music, right? That's what you were kind of harping on. I think when I first heard it, I was like, this is a Yakuza theme song in a Final Fantasy game, because it does feel like it would fit in a Yakuza game, in a Like a Dragon game. I think part of it is Typhon is otherworld, like Ultima feels otherworldly, like truly godly in the game. So I think that's part of it, is like it's uneasy, you're supposed to make you feel uncomfortable or different by genre. But yeah, I mean, early takes here, Typhon versus Bahamut. Is there anyone leaning one way or the other with these fights? Maybe we just chat about Bahamut first, see how we land.
I mean, Bahamut's dope, so
Speak more on that, Rhett. Hold on, Rhett. Yeah, speak more on that.
About it. Yeah.
I mean, every Final Fantasy game has a really solid design for Bahamut.
True.
It's a giant dragon that can yeet you. What is there not to love about it?
Mega flares your ass.
Mega flares. Yeah.
This Bahamut was so powerful, he rivals Donald Duck in Final Fantasy history.
That's true. Zeta Flare?
As one of the very few casters.
I was looking. Did he do Zeta Flare? Zeta
Flare.
When did he do that?
Zeta Flare.
Oh, I was looking too for that specific reason, and I didn't catch it.
No, he does. I was playing it on review, so I was playing it well before I could say anything, well before I could talk with fucking anyone.
Yeah.
And I'm there going through this fight, and I'm like, Zeta Flare, is he gonna do it? Is he gonna beat Donald Duck? And he did it, and I was like, oh my god.
I remember
a challenger.
I remember Terra Flare.
I'm Googling now to see if I can watch it.
Because I don't remember seeing a Zeta Flare, but maybe I'm just misremembering.
Probably, there's so much stuff going on. Whenever they showed whatever they were casting, it was a little word at the top of it. So unless you weren't paying attention for it, you were going to notice it.
Yeah.
Because I did. I was like, ooh, I wonder if he'll do it. I was watching for it the whole time, but I missed it.
Yeah, no, he does.
He does. Uh-huh. That's funny.
So I think that puts
finally someone as powerful as Donald.
Well, so I did in fact do some digging into this as it happened, and there is one other character that has done a Zeta Flare, and that was, I believe, from what the internet says, it was the Bahamut that was in Final Fantasy XIV that caused the reboot to Realm Reborn.
You know what? That's right. I remember that when people talk about the only other time it happened was literally something destroyed the fucking world. Yeah, Bahamut destroyed the world and restarted everything. Yeah. Basically restarted the time.
So Bahamut wins. It reset an entire game. So
yes. That was the Final Fantasy 14 Bahamut. We're talking about the Final Fantasy 16 Bahamut.
Oh, fair.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. This Bahamut fight was pretty cool. This is one I have no objections to it. Like, this is a roller coaster I was happy to be on. Like, it's
pretty good.
Yeah.
It kept getting cooler and cooler.
It was Dragon Ball Z. You know,
for context's sake, Rut, this was Phoenix and Ifrit fused together to give Ifrit the power of extra fire and flight. And then Bahamut and Risen Ifrit flew into the stratosphere.
Into space.
So that you're having a giant laser fight as you're watching, like, the sun and the curvature of the earth underneath you.
Pretty rad.
Balls to the walls. Anime as fuck fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we don't even need to talk about Typhon. We can move on.
They're different.
That's pretty dope.
Bahamut's pretty fucking great. And you know what's crazy about that is it happens like right after Titan. Like pretty much immediately. Like you have back to back like insane shit happening.
That's awesome.
And I think very much to what you were saying in the last round, Auden, the idea of like, oh, I'm here for the spectacle.
Yeah.
That was the spectacle for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that one's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. It is very Dragon Ball Z, and I guess just because of the design of Bahamut and like Ifrit, it made me keep thinking of Gundam a lot, because Ifrit kind of looks like a Gundam in a way. I mean, it's just a big thing. Yeah. And so it just kept reminding me of that, but it's like in all the best ways, because it's just fucking stupid.
Well, isn't there like a Mecha Bahamut in one of the games?
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like the Typhon fight was the lowest point for me. That was where I was like the closest, I think, to kind of giving up on the game and being like, I don't know if I like this.
It was the moment, I think, where I was like, oh, is this where this is going? I remember thinking that, like, oh, we're getting really weird. Because people were, I remember reading, they're like, oh, man, the like third act, like, really, everything goes to Kingdom Hearts eating off the rails. I'm like, that's one Kingdom Hearts-looking motherfucker right there.
Yeah. And he literally steps out of a void.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm kind of down for that. But, yeah, he was definitely stood out, and I don't know if in a good way. Like, if I looking back at everything together, it's definitely very different. I don't know.
Yeah,
about it.
It was different, and I kind of feel like it was also disconnected to me. It felt disconnected from what Ultima ultimately becomes. You know, yeah. It felt so weird. That was like, is this a monster Ultima controls? Is this another Ultima?
Yeah, we never really got the context of what the hell was going on really there.
Yeah, so story-wise, I wasn't as into it. And at that point in the gameplay, I was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, the things that happened right after that hooked me back in, because, you know, that's, you know, where you get Ramu and all that. But
Rip Cid, Rip.
Yeah, Rip Cid. Yeah. But yeah, I think between Bahamut and Typhon, it's a pretty easy Bahamut for me.
Yeah, Bahamut's pretty great.
I really enjoyed the Typhon fight.
Actually the mechanics of that fight.
Yeah, the mechanics, this was one of the only icon fights where it wasn't just get close and mash. Like when it did like the big wall thing, or it would like
I would have loved it
and then set beams out, and you'd have to like, it almost turned it into like shmup isn't the right word, but it had more interactive elements to it than just punch and punch hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was extremely, extremely, if I wish Rut had played this fight alone, he should look up the fight, the video of this. It was like, oh, this is a raid boss from WoW. 100%.
Yeah.
Like big time. Like when that wall was coming at you, I'm like, I've done this 100 times in boss fights on WoW.
Yeah.
You're an expert.
I was like, oh, this is very familiar. I'm at home here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so for that, I did enjoy it. But yeah,
I liked it. Yeah.
Who the fuck is Typhon? Like,
still don't know. Where,
like, I'm sure if I went and spoke to Tomes, he'd be like, ah, yes, this was a previous deity that attempted to usurp power and become a icon, but he was a weak bitch, so he didn't. So they cast him into the Shadow Realm, and that's where he now lays waiting. And it's like, that whatever his story is could be cool, but he came out of nowhere and disappeared just as fast.
Yeah, never really referenced again. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I know Scrappy was talking about how he liked the music. Here's what I didn't like about the music for that fight. It was the first time I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And it wasn't reactive like the rest of the music. That's my biggest problem with it, I think. Is it's like a bunch of stuff's happening on screen, but the music's just like, I'm going along with my weird fucking vibe. Yeah. And I get like whenever that kind of happens in a story or like a game or a movie or whatever, it's always like that's that overwhelming music is then it cuts over whatever, cuts through whatever's going on screen. But usually then we cut to whatever that then means, like something has then happened, but we just never got the over the hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like here's the weirdness. And now I'm going to transition to you to what this means to everything. It's just, it took forever to get there.
Okay, so it's my problem with it. I agree with everything there. I didn't like it when I was playing the fight. Where I got over the hump is when you fight Ultima at the end. Because when you hear Ultima's theme, my brain was like, this is extremely familiar. Where have I heard this? And I realized it's the electronic theme that stuck in my head because it was so weird and out of nowhere.
That's fine for Ultima. I don't think it retroactively makes the other one better, though.
I think it's more that it plants that seed where it's like, okay, these are related things, and it's the same melody that's played through different genres to kind of help you connect, like, okay, Typhon's a weird fucking thing out of nowhere, and now here we get to Ultima, which is like, I agree. I prefer Ultima's orchestral version way more. It has a very Sephiroth One-Winged Angel energy.
Well, it's not even just the quality of the music itself. It's just how it doesn't really get... It's playing over what you're saying rather than being part of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
someone saw that and put their own music to it is what it felt like. And that was it. They just overlaid a track and that's all the work that went into it is what it felt like. I know that's reductive. Obviously, they fucking did a ton of work on this game. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's how it felt. It's like, oh, I'm just going to slap this music over this part and then we can move on. And I was like, oh. I get that. When the rest of it doesn't work that way, that's why it sticks out to me. It's like nothing else was like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
music was cool though. It's definitely fucking weird.
Yeah, I think I need to like play that boss fight again because you know, again, with it
might
being,
be worth trying again. Yeah,
yeah, like with it for me feeling like the lowest point of the game, maybe I just need to like refresh my memory more on it. You know,
they make it easy to do that to go just replay shit.
I think it's definitely the biggest letdown of the game, or you know, it's there in terms of like being ham-fisted.
I would say it's
there.
Bad. It's just it's like when you have the context of the rest of it, it's like okay,
yeah,
it's definitely
it's
the
like
weaker
it,
one.
It missed potential. We're not mad, we're disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh no.
But, so I think
all sad now.
I think it's Bahamut, yeah? Bahamut is the winner of this.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
I think any tough time beat Bahamut, I think.
Yeah, agreed. So round three, this is Phoenix versus Efreet. We're just gonna lump like both versions of that fight in the prologue, you know. Same thing. And then Clive versus himself, his shadow, Dark Clive. Clive versus Dark Clive, basically.
Where he masters Efreet, kind of like, you know, Ash eventually gets Charizard to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
By pressing L3 and R3 together.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, Charizard was like, fuck you, you don't control me. That's how Efreet was for most of 16.
Yes, exactly. So Phoenix versus Efreet, that's like the first... That's like the first thing you do in the game.
Very first opening, is them biting you like under, they're falling, all that shit.
Well, that's like one of the only times that you're not controlling Clive too, technically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because you're controlling Phoenix for both parts, like both versions of the fight. Yeah. This one, like you said, I think you were reminding me there, Auden, that it's a roller coaster as well. I kind of forgot about
it. Pretty great. It's a pretty great opener.
It's a good roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not super complex or much going on because it is literally the first thing you do in the game. But when I played, I was like, fuck, if that's what this game is, count me fucking in. Like, I was totally down for it. It was a great opening fight, great opening spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of cool shots in it, too, in terms of just the visuals of it. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. The music in it fits so well. It's so good in it. Music and is It ends in that pretty tragic climax, right? Of like a freak killing,
fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's like really brutal for a fucking Final Fantasy.
It just
game.
Keeps going. You're like, fucking, he's dead already. Stop. Like,
yeah. And it really hit all the right notes. I think, like, because that's where the demo ends. If you played the demo, it ends after a freak kills Phoenix, which is like the perfect like cliffhanger.
Phenomenal demo.
Mm-hmm. They know how to get their hooks in. I mean, if we talk want to talk about like the brutal nature of it, when you then revisit it kind of from the other side, as like you watch Clive go crazy and the Duke's right hand guy is there, like, oh, Clive, we must go. We need to save everyone. And then he just gets evaporated as Clive transforms.
Pretty rad.
Yeah, like his last line is like, there's a second icon of fire, and then like, phew, gone.
Then he's just incinerated.
Yeah, immediately.
Because they were kind of setting him up like, oh, this is going to be a character I'm going to get to know. Mm-hmm. Nope, he's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna get to wear his clothes later.
Because we already knew when the Sean Bean looking motherfucking dad walked in, I'm like, oh, that fucker gone. He can be dead in the next hour. Like,
but then the Clive versus Dark Clive, that's the scene where he learns the truth. He accepts the truth and learns to control his icon, kind of.
Sometimes. Sometimes, he keeps trying and failing after that still. But
yeah, but he at least kind of accepts like, oh yeah, I am a freak. I did kill my brother.
Hey man, sometimes in high stakes scenarios, you just get some performance anxiety, you know? Yeah, well, it's hard to get the flame up, proverbially.
Sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, this pod is sponsored by Blue Chew and Hims.
Yes.
but that fight I really liked from the story of it. I like the click L. It's such dumb gamer brain shit, but press L3 R3 to accept the truth. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
That deserves to be press F to pay respects. That's what that deserves. It deserves that level of memeing, because I was just like, fuck you. When I saw, I was like, this is so stupid.
They know what they were doing.
I know they know what they're doing, but it's also it's always one of those things where it's like, oh, this is a serious moment, but like, we're gonna make it really fucking stupid. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I was into it because, you know, symbolically, that's how you activate your what is it, the pre icon or whatever it's called?
Like, I can't remember, but something like
charge
the devil trigger, you know,
Super Saiyan.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought it was cool. I thought the whole fight was pretty fun, just like kind of fighting shadow versions of yourself and a free, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always fun to, especially like when the shadow you starts comboing you in the same way that you can try to combo it. That just brings me back to like the water temple Dark Link fight and Dark stuff. Link, yeah. It's just like, it's fun. It's always a fun thing to fight a shadow version of yourself in a video game.
Yeah.
Agreed. And the music in this fight is also so very good. Like Find the Flame is like, that was a good move, making that one of the first songs they released for the game. Because you can just listen to that on Spotify right now. That song is so fucking good.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. But are any of you leaning one way or the other with this fight between Phoenix and Ifrit and Clive and Dark Clive?
I think I'm leaning towards Dark Clive. You know, for the same reasons that I've said before, the Phoenix versus Ifrit was like a great head-in, but it was like, I still felt that it was too long and it was basically just a whole bunch of reticle shooting while like
other stuff was happening. Button.
Yeah. Like, did it look gorgeous? 100%. Was I there for all of the action and the chaos and the breaking and hurling of rocks? Definitely. I think that it could have been cut in half and have remained just as effective.
Well, good news for you.
Hard to disagree.
They doubled it, so
you get to do it again.
It's true. I did have a bit of an eye roll moment. It's like, okay, you know, another like just mashing circle while like, you know, doing a little spin with the reticle on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Otten? Where are you feeling?
I agree. As much as I do, I think Phoenix versus Ifrit is really cool. It is very simple. Mm. But it is fucking rad. Like, no, I'm not saying it's bad in any way. It's a really, really cool way to introduce you to the game. I think it does a very fair job of like setting up to like, yeah, you can expect more of this shit later coming. But the Dark Clive is pretty good.
It is.
Good stuff going on there.
Rudd, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah.
No.
I feel like as we're having any of these discussions, it's like Rutt's duty to pull both fights up side by side on his start watching them. And then just like let them play.
Get prepared. We're doing Garuda and Barnabas next and Odin.
Yes.
Get them going.
But yeah, I think I agree with you. I'm leaning toward Dark Clive as well. If anything, just for the L3 R3 thing being like that perfect, just fucking like dumb but cool thing. Yeah, you know?
It's gonna be the meme.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it takes a bit, like, the Call of Duty one is a huge meme, but it takes a special game to make pressing a button that blatantly obvious feel that cool, you know? And it gives like that the God of War game where you click both sticks in to press someone's eyeballs in.
That's cool. That's cooler than this.
It's cooler than this, yes. But it's that same kind of like, okay, this is stupid.
I was like, I had cool. That idea that like we should do this. Like, should we? Like, yeah, it's fucking good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Round four, the Garuda fight, which is the big one after Benedicta is defeated. And then Barnabas / Odin. This is just all three Barnabas encounters, and by that I mean like the 20-second first one, the 30-second second one, and then the like 15-20-minute third one.
Yeah.
The Garuda fight kind of felt also like a Kingdom Hearts kind of fight where you're fighting a big monster, you know? So it's like big like AoE attacks. Because you don't transform, you are a Freet, but you don't know it yet. Kind of like
you just fight. You don't ever fight Garuda as a Freet, right? It's just Clive, correct? Yep.
I think so.
Oh, you fight, it's after you're like done fighting on the hilltop, then he goes full great ape form to stick with the Dragon Ball Z metaphors, and then there is a fight on like the leveled plains.
Oh yeah, because then she's all fucking crushed and Cid walks over and is all sad.
That's right.
That's the first fight that they introduce the idea that like yes Clive can like take people's powers, yes they are still technically dominance, but they don't have control over their icon in the way that they Gruta's did before. Just
wild at that point essentially.
Yeah,
and then that adds stakes to the Bahamut moment later, because we know that like Dion might fucking die.
Yeah. But the Garuda fight, I feel it was cool. I think I like the Benedicta fight more, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And then
I think I agree on that.
Yeah, and then Odin's fucking cool. That was a good fight. I like the Barnabas fight a lot.
What's he gonna say?
I think the first time you encounter him in a fight was one of the coolest like arenas for a fight ever, and then they hardly used it. I was so fucking pissed. I was like, this is fucking rad. Like, so if Rhett doesn't know, they like Odin splits the sea essentially, like the like fucking Moses.
Like Moses with a Beyblade.
Yeah, and just use the knife. Knife, fucking sword, knife, whatever.
It's a big knife.
Use a sword.
It is a knife.
No, yeah.
And cuts a thing in the sea, and then you go down to the bottom because his fucking boat falls in. And you're just at the bottom of the sea as there's two walls of water around you, and that's where you fight. And they're like, okay, you get 20 seconds, and then you bounce. And you're like, this is so cool looking. Mm-hmm. I want to be here longer, and then fucking gone. We're out of here.
They do one of those forced loss moments in video games
where Clive gets fucking rocked.
Yeah, I mean both of those first two fights, because that first one was in the castle kind of thing.
Yeah, after the Sleipnir, however you fucking say his name.
Yeah, and you lose both of those, and those I was kind of like, okay, you just got mortally wounded, and then you get up, and you're like, I'm going to go fight him again. Like, I barely recovered. I'm going to go fight him again. This time it'll be different. But I think I like the third fight the most for Odin. The big fight at the top of the tower.
You don't ever get to fight Odin.
Yeah. And I think that might be why I like it a lot.
Probably.
Yeah.
That was another one that it's like when you're fighting something so much more powerful, and especially like he would do like counters and stuff to you, right?
He would block, and then if you hit him enough times he parries you, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a lot of like just big AoE stuff he does while you're playing as Clive. Like that one ability where it's like kind of those like weird like electric crosses that kind of just appear on the map. Yeah. Or that one where he just like shoots a wave out that's kind of similar to the Typhon fight in a way where you need to get behind him to dodge it, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I was pretty into all of that personally, and just like the kind of like one-on-one swordship sort of stuff.
I think weirdly enough, one of my biggest issues with the Odin fight is that like, because I mean, everyone can pretty much agree that in terms of a Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy 16 is not difficult, especially as you are learning the combos. Failed. You found like the one combo that is your thing. And if you're doing all the side quests and stuff, like it gives you ample resources to be able to have more consumable items, to be stronger, everything. That by the time I got to Odin, it like there wasn't tension. There was a whole lot of very powerful attacks, but you have so much to mitigate that you can like just tank him at that point. I think that would be a very difficult and a very different and more hype battle without having, you know, the second strongest weapon in the game and without having, you know, 12 potions strapped down my thigh. But it just like that fell into that tipping point of, you know, the combat is somewhat trivial, which they definitely, you know, they definitely solved in the Final Fantasy mode. But you still, you know, it still means that the first however many tens of hours playthrough of this game is, you know, in terms of challenges on the simpler side. And, you know, we're also all saying that as people who have played a shit ton of video games and do it for fun. And we're into video games, we practically voluntarily write about them as well. So I think Odin was a bit of a letdown because I never had the need to learn his mechanics.
Yeah, I can kind of see that because you do tank a lot of his, you can tank a lot of his stuff and be fine, right? I don't know. I think just one other thing I think I liked about Odin is that this is the point where it felt like a clown game to me in a great way. Because it story-wise, it's where it all just broke down and I was like, okay, not going to be the best story ever. Because Odin he goes from first he's like this badass, like he's a general, like a president, king, god, general who conquered an entire continent with his bare fists. He's a fucking badass, man.
He doesn't age.
And then you interact with him more and he's like, oh no, he's just a servant of God. And
yeah, he's just a fucking douche.
That's really boring. Like I was really let down with that characterization.
I agree. Once it started going with that, I was like, oh man. Because like that first time you see Odin when he's on the battlefield, like as there's a big battle going below, he's fucking imposing. You're like, oh fuck, Odin looks badass.
Yeah,
looks cool as shit. And I'm with you on that. And I was like, oh, that's what he is. He's just some fucking religious fanatic guy. It's like, I guess it's just one of those. I guess part of it is like because we're always way into stories and stuff. I think all three of us are pretty big story people. That's such a common thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like again, like at least do something weird with it. But no, it's pretty bog standard. Like God's you got to submit yourself to God because he's the one. It's the one answer. Blah 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 blah.
It's a boring motivation. But then he goes clown mode. Where he's just like, I'm horny because we're fighting and it feels good to fight. So I'm going to laugh like the Joker. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm back in. I'm into this part of Barney. I want this more.
I think it's definitely the most interesting. Did you say you
want horny Barney? That's a little weird, man.
I mean,
I love you. You love me. Let's get it on.
Yeah. It'd been an instant 10 out of 10 game if he started doing that.
Imagine if Barnabas got up there and instead of transforming into Odin, just turned into a giant purple dinosaur.
Sold.
Literally.
Would have been great.
Yeah. But it was when he starts maniacally, like I'm thinking very specifically of like, there's a moment where he does like, he turns into a vortex and just spins at you like a Beyblade, right? Like through the air. And he's laughing.
It's the Red Sea.
Yeah, but he's just laughing like the Joker when he's doing that. And I'm like, okay, this is a stupid story, and yes. I love it. I love. Yeah. Well, this is a stupid character kind of, and I'm loving this.
Yeah, I think that it is probably the coolest Clive fight, boss fight, no doubt. With as you are Clive, not Ifrit or something like that, where it's just Clive.
Potentially.
Because he does have a bunch of cool mechanics that you have to deal with. I'm with Stretch on like the easiness part, but I felt that didn't just happen there. I had that the whole time.
Oh, definitely not.
I don't say I'm like someone that's super great at games. I didn't die once the entire game. I never saw what the game over screen looks like. I don't know. I'm not saying that it's like, oh, I'm so good at it. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, I never got to like go back in at something. I was like, oh, okay, that's just what it is. And you say you have so many potions. I think I could have not upgraded my potion belt and I've been fine the whole game.
Probably, yeah.
It's pretty crazy. So that makes, I guess that's also part of why the fights like Barnabas, like as Clive, are not as cool to me. I'm like, that's whatever. I can make my way through it pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It's not a big challenge. So it's really the spectacle's what's there. Didn't have a lot of that. Like I was really bummed you didn't just see Odin all that much. We did spend a lot of time with crazed Barnabas. Like he does go into Odin form a couple times to do some shit, but other than that, you don't really get to see Odin too much.
Mm-hmm.
In it, which was kind of a bummer because like I guess part of it is they'd already set up Odin as like don't even try because he'll just fuck you up kind of right. Like he literally splits the sea and it's like nothing to him, that's just his normal attack just did that and you're like, oh fuck. Mm-hmm. It would have been neat to see, and it's always funny to see like when you're Ifrit, he's so much smaller than all the other icons. He's like this big and they're like humongous. It's like, why is he so tiny?
Yeah. He's got big underdog energy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a fucking ant compared to all of them.
Mm-hmm. I kind of love that though. I think it adds to the fun of it.
I think so, because otherwise then you are really just getting into Power Rangers
right
at that point if they're just both same size.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we've talked a lot about the Barnabas fight, but with Garuda is also in the room. Do you recognize Garuda?
I think Garuda is one of the weaker moments to me.
Yeah.
As a fight. Mm. I think it's a little bummer what they did with, well, where Benedict end up, I mean, with the story with Cid's relationship with her and that kind of stuff and whatever. I think that could have been a lot cooler.
Hey. Just you wait until we get episode Benedicta story DLC.
That will just make it worse.
Episode Cid story DLC.
That'll just make it worse though. Episode
Barnabas story DLC.
No, because Benedicta already had enough context around her to make her cool, and then they just made her into like, oh, she's literally just the love interest of Hugo and Cid in a way. That's the reason Hugo's so mad is that she dies. That's what she's reduced to, and it's like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. Like.
And I mean, it's even the
yes, the it's with the women the, characters in this kind of are shame,
horrendously
shame.
Written. Yeah, it's even that like Benedict's head is sent to Hugo.
That's right,
by Barnabas, right? Like that's
I think.
Did we get a clear answer on that? Because Hugo obviously thinks Clive did it.
I assume that Clive wouldn't do it, and I assume that Cid wouldn't do it.
It didn't seem like a move they would do.
I think it was Barnabas by way of Ultima, like Ultima influencing him.
I think that was right. Because, I mean, Ultima's whole plan was to have Clive fucking kill the icons. So
yeah,
which kind of makes that whole second act of the entire game just Kupka being a fucking moron, which is funny because he's meant to be like head of coin and like a strategic mind.
Genius.
Yeah. But no, someone sends him an unlabeled box with a note that says, hehe, from Clive. He's like, this guy, I'll kill him.
Yeah.
Then he loses his hands.
People talked about him, but then you saw him, he was just like a big meathead. Like whenever he was talking.
Have you guys seen the images going around Twitter of the Kupka PlayArts action figure?
Mm-hmm.
That depending on whether he's in like a powered down or a powered up state, he has like different poses, but they've also got it so that he can have like the kind of like Titan fists, which has meant that for design purposes, he's got, from the wrist, you can detach his hands to swap between his powered up and his powered down hands. Yeah. So the PR photo is just a handless Kupka. And she's like, well, that's perfect. Good job.
Pretty good.
Spoilers?
Yeah, right.
But so between Garuda and Barnabas,
Barnabas
yeah. eats it out. Okay. Yeah. All right, and the final round here, Sleipnir and Ultima. Sleipnir is that character right right before the first Odin fight or Barnabas fight.
Yeah.
And then Ultima just being
gets rocked.
Yeah. And Ultima just being the like entire last 2 hours of the game.
Yeah.
Ultima looks way cooler.
Mm-hmm. Ultima, kind of... you like Ultima. You like that kind of Marilyn Manson look.
This looks like somebody who's ready to fuck you up.
Kind of.
Well, I mean, there's all those news stories about Manson, but
he has such big fourth act anime vibes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For the first time you saw him, it's like, oh, obviously this is where we're going. Like,
yeah. Well, that's why I really want to call out fourth act in the same way that we're like, oh, Odin is the big bad. Nope, there's a secret big bad that's been behind him.
That's right. That's the like real big bad.
God.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. That's all JRPGs are. You kill God. Mm-hmm. That's a key factor in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this kind of isn't a contest.
It's unfair. It's a little unfair.
It is unfair. Yeah. I mean, the Sleipnir fight, I'm surprised how much I liked it, but
there's some neat stuff going on.
But that's, I would say that like the Sleipnir fight is definitely better than Clive and Garuda, and better. And I would say that it's better than Phoenix versus Ifrit, because it's really like the one grounded, just like pure content fight.
Yes.
But against Ultima, this is a wash, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's kind of
it is unfair.
Not fair.
Yeah,
the Ultima fight's just so big and so much going on. Like, it's reminiscent of the Bahamut stuff at times.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamut fight, because it takes place in just absurd places.
Yeah,
and crazy shit happens.
So maybe what we do instead of chatting all about Ultima here, what if we just give this fight to Ultima?
I think that's fair.
The free, and then we now go through these five that are left and rank them.
What about round six, which is me versus the door?
I choose the door.
Still not figured out what the door.
So I was curious about this. I remember
it's
seeing
gotta be DLC.
He does comment on it, like you say.
Yeah. For context, even if you played the game, there's like one door you see like right after. Is it like Eastwood or something? Where?
Yeah, it's as you're going through the mall, the area to the far northeast,
right? Past the one of the first little towns where that one fucker lives, where it gets drowned in the
ether flood. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like this doorway that you go by.
Oh, no. You guys are thinking of a different place. This is north. Is it? It's further north from Northmoor. When you're going from the city, from where you get your change of outfit and you head further north, and then you get to the Phoenix Gate.
Right. Yeah. No, so it's after. Right, yeah. It's right after you get your outfit. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. Yeah. So it's not the Aetherflood place. It's the place where it's the
total northwest.
It's the place that gets overrun by bandits that you then repopulate.
Yeah.
And it's a clear thing too, because from the screenshots you showed, it's like down like a straightforward path, and then just like a shoot off, and the only thing it goes to is this.
So, Stretch had brought this up that he thought this had some crazy main character energy for a door, and he mentioned that another place opens that's a door that looks just like this. And I looked actively. And kept my eye out for this. I do not remember anything that was a door that looked like this. This design's everywhere because it's just part of the ruins.
It's when you go into Phoenix Gate. So literally, like, you're going through the mall, you see this door. Clive actively comments on the door.
Yes, I saw. I know the door.
You go to Phoenix Gate, and then when you go into the ruins of Phoenix Gate and down the steps to where the Phoenix Trial is, to like the first time that you face like the Grim Reaper, there's a door that has a crystal on it the exact same way, and Clive grabs the crystal, it lights up, and then the door parts and opens.
I don't remember it being a circular thing. There's not a crystal by the door you walked by, the one that he comments on that doesn't open.
It's like in the door. It's like as if there was like a crystal handle in the center of it. It's like a little blue gem.
My gut is this is DLC or like an update later. You know, it could be something like a Bloody Palace tower mode, or it could be where Leviathan is, and that's the DLC. You know,
still like a weird thing to include in the base game, though. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, usually the DLC would add that section, not have it in the main game, which is why I'm like full conspiracy theorist with Stretch here. Like, there's got to be some weird way to open that door.
So there is some story stuff to it. Is that like when you're in Phoenix Gate, you can touch the thing, magic pulses through the crystal. Yeah. And the door opens, but in this place, the mall, magic does not work. Like, you can't even like use any of your abilities. You can't use like your short dash in this space. It is a door that should be able to be magically opened in a section of the world that is entirely devoid of magic.
Mm-hmm. That's why, I mean, I think it's a metagame answer, but I really do think it's like DLC update. Yeah. Like it's something that they'll add
in.
I do think it is a weird red flag, right? That like it's fine that the door's there, but it is weird that Clive recognizes
one little line about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they were doing it just to fuck with Stretch.
Yeah.
I mean they may have done. I
like this guy. I really just, liked Tunic, and he's gonna review the game, so let's fuck with him.
So the door wins this round for now.
The door is the winner. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll rule myself out.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So the top five that are left, these are the five that are left, and we will rank them now from best to worst. Okay. We've got Clive versus Titan. We've got Efreet and Phoenix versus Bahamut. We've got Clive versus Dark Clive. We've got Clive versus Barnabas. And we've got Clive versus Ultima.
It's funny how like four of these are the last like four thing.
Yeah,
that you do in the game.
Yeah, Titan, Bahamut, Barnabas, and Ultima.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think from that list of five, and I may be presumptuous, I think that the Barnabas Odin and the Shadow Clive are gonna be fighting it out for position four and five.
I'm reticent to say you're right, because I think I'd be the only one fighting tooth and nail for Odin to be higher. I really like that fight.
That may mean that Odin is fourth.
Yeah, that could be what it means.
Yeah, you didn't change anything what he said.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying you might be fighting for Odin to be higher, but out of the verse Titan, the verse Bahamut, or verse Ultima, which of those do you think that Odin was better than?
Titan, for sure. Easy answer. Interesting. For me.
Wow. This is not how I expected any of this to go.
Again, Titan was a lot of fun, a lot of good spectacle. Falling down an infinite mega Titan to fight the smaller but still larger Titan, A+. Stupid fun shonen anime shit. I really, really dug Barnabas's moveset. I thought it was a lot of fun to fight that as Clive. Like, to me, that it's like the action game stuff that I was really into for it, you know? But I can concede fourth place for Odin if that is where the boat is going.
Well, okay. I mean, I apparently was being very presumptuous.
I mean,
I've made my feelings clear on what I thought of the combat in general, that it was kind of pretty mediocre to me.
I am okay with like Shadow Clive fifth, Barnabas fourth. Is that what we're thinking here? Or not? Yeah,
actually. Is it going to be weird to say that I think that Ultima may be fourth?
We haven't talked about Ultima yet.
Okay.
That's fucking wild. That's a wild statement you just made, sir.
I'm a 1000% in disagreement there, because to me, okay. Ultima is a better version of the Odin fight in like every way.
I think that Ultima was a really good evolution of the Typhon fight, in that like there was more to being Ifrit than just moving in and hitting. Like it had that like bit of bullet schmuffness.
Well, that part, but there's a whole like humongous fight that's where you're Clive too. Like where you go through all of the icons to use the abilities against him.
That part's
which was fucking cool. Yeah, I think that Ultima's kind of the best of both worlds, honestly, kind of as a fight.
I agree. That part is like what made QTEs, like I like those QTEs. Of all the QTEs in the game, I like those ones the best because they were pretty cool.
I had a guess that this was going to happen. I was like, I wonder if they're going to have us go through these, because it's like it's a very obvious story thing to do. And I was like, okay, they did. And like everybody got to comment at some point. All the characters got to say
anime
something.
As fuck.
Except Joshua. I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
He was too busy being dead.
Anyway, he didn't say anything.
When you use Phoenix, when you summon the Phoenix, he says something there.
I don't think he does. I'll have to look it up.
I'll have to go back through my footage.
We'll 90% see. Sure, but
because I remember seeing like why is everybody else saying shit? Mid got to say something. Like, what the fuck is this?
Fucking Mid. I love that's a character. I really do. I think Ultima is like definitely not 4. Personally,
I agree.
I was definitely only remembering the like big space ball laser beam.
The big space ball thing aspect. Is just like it's like Bahamut, but like more shit happening.
Yes.
Yeah, like
bigger,
I had definitely forgotten
bigger
about,
things
happening. About the big power clash moments prior. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ultima is pretty rad. Like usually it's funny how like with so many games like they always build up the last boss, and so I was like, oh, it was all right, I guess. But there's always something cooler going on before, and it's like, I don't know, Ultima kind of checks most of the boxes that the rest of the game has done. It was a pretty well done last boss, like way to end the game, I think.
Yeah, and I mean this fully, that it is truly just Barnabas plus, because it even story wise follows the idea of like a boring. Related to God / being God thing.
Yeah, Ultima as a character is pretty boring.
Yes, but then he becomes angry and mad and upset, and I'm like, yes, this is dumb. Yes. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure he says like, this can't be. I'm a god, and it's like, yes, okay. Like
very. That's dumb. Very like. That's been around like how
flag,
dare you?
Death flag on the play.
it's like they making fucking Thanos bleed. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah. Okay, so maybe let's figure out the lower part of the bracket. I think it's fair to say Ultima's not 4, right?
I would be with you on that.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So we're all at Dark Clive 5.
Yeah.
It's 5th.
I think so. Dark Clive's 5th.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool fight.
I mean, we're doing top 5 here. They're all cool. Like,
yeah, they're all
we're
cool.
Yeah.
And then 4, I'm willing to concede Barnabas for this. I'm putting that on the table.
How generous of you.
So what would you put in 4 on then?
Five Barnabas, also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, then yeah, I think
or actually honestly I'd flip Barnabas and Shadowclive personally. But
oh wow.
I put Shadowclive 4 and Barnabas.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a Barnabas on the lower end, a Barnabas on the upper end, and apparently I came in totally incorrectly with a Barnabas in the middle. So I think Barnabas in 4th may truly be where
I think
where
that's probably based on our general sentiments is probably where it ends up. Yeah, it's 4th.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so now here
it does have the coolest fight arena still.
So like Titan's 3rd.
The ocean is pretty great.
Top
3 is rough. Top 3 for me is rough.
Top 3 is very rough.
Top 3 we have Titan, Bahamut, and Ultima. Not in that order, just those are the 3 that are left.
I think I know how I would order them.
I think I do too. Stretch, you have a face.
No, it's your stretches first.
Interestingly though, like after talking about how much we like, especially like Scrappy, you and I like talking about how much we enjoyed like the Clive versus something like the more technical aspects of the fighting, we've ended up with, like, well, aside from the different sections of Ultima, we've ended up with three predominantly icon fights.
Yeah.
Which is just an interesting observation to me.
I disagree with that observation.
Yeah, he wouldn't be having it in that order. He conceded Barnabas, remember?
Yes.
Well, that's true.
And also, I'm the flip of you, where you only remembered the big space fight from the Ultima fight. I remembered everything else but that until you mentioned the space fight. I'm like, oh yeah, that happened too. To me, what stood out way more was all of the Clive fighting of the Ultima fight.
Okay.
Clive fighting, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So I think my third place would be Titan.
I agree.
I agree. Yeah, okay, Titan again. 3. Okay, that was easy. I'm Titan's glad. Third. Okay, Titan is third.
We're all like trying not to step on toes.
No, the Bahamut and Ultima, I think, is hard. Because
now it comes down to,
I think Bahamut is, it's got pretty cool story stuff that happens with it on top of it. Like, Ultima obviously has got a bunch of cool story stuff because it's literally the fucking end of the game. But, you know, it's the, when Clive and Joshua reunite, they come together. Dion's got is all fucked up in the head and crazy shit's happening with him at that moment. It's got some of the coolest visuals of how that crystal breaks, like over the city. Like, it's like in terms of like the spectacle and just like beautiful shots, I think it probably is my favorite part of the game in that respect. A bunch of cool stuff like that going on. Ultima's just a funner fight. Ultimately.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on all of that, and I think I lean toward, for me, Ultima is number one in this list, because I for one, the music in it, absolutely loved it. It is fucking cool. If you listen to it, you'll notice the Ultima their theme playing, which is the very, you know, one-winged angel like violin thing, right? But it's in the same key as Find the Flame, which is pretty much Clive's theme song. So they play both of those alternating and then simultaneously during the fight. And it is, I always love it when games do that, when you can have like two characters' themes, or even in musicals, right? Where two characters' themes are like playing against each other in a way where like the themes are fighting in the same way that the characters are fighting. I know it's like monkey brain shit, but it's also like really fascinating. So I love that bit. Yeah. In the ultimate fight. And just the fight itself to me is top tier.
What about you, Stretch? What do you think?
I think that I would agree. Like, Bahamut, I think, is an incredible fight, but it just doesn't have that level of complexity to it that Ultima fucking nails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing plus that Bahamut does have, though, is it leads to Clive's terrible mom fucking killing herself, which is pretty rad.
She's both
a terrible person and a terrible character. I thought her character was one of the worst in the entire game, just written wise. It was just so like
cartoonishly evil,
and like the one that was like, obviously here's our Game of Thronesy character that we're not going to do a good job with at all. Here's our Game of Thrones bit. Ah, she's controlling everything. And like, she fucking sucked. Not good. I was so happy when she fucking just dead.
I mean, especially with the way that she just like fucking fawns over younger brother's name.
Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were talking about like the one that was made Joshua emperor. I was like, I don't remember his fucking name.
Oh,
it was very Cersei.
In a bit. Yeah, it's just not very, very well executed to me. Which, too bad. But whatever.
Yeah.
It felt weird to be so happy to be like, fucking finally, I don't have to see her shit anymore. Like, when she killed herself. Like, thank God.
Yeah, I don't know. The Ultima fight gave me very do y'all remember the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 where it's like a six phase boss fight with Xemnas and like dragon Xemnas and giant mecha ship Xemnas?
It's one of the best things ever.
Yes. The ultimate fight.
Just sitting in a chair in his Keyblade armor.
Yeah.
Before Keyblade armor was even a thing. Mm-hmm. Like what?
Yeah, it was very spectacle and cool. And I think the ultimate fight, it kind of there's not a lot one to one, but there's like a feeling that was very similar. Yeah. Like this is just big, over the top, crazy shit going on.
It's funny how much we compared to Kingdom Hearts, and that's which is Nomura at his peak, which this is not a Nomura made Final Fantasy game. Mm-hmm. He's doing the 7 remake.
Yeah, but it definitely ends like one.
Square.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely felt like one. I was like, if someone's like secretly they reveal later, like, oh, Nomura was heavily involved the whole time, like that makes sense. Like this makes sense.
He was playtesting it and then shortly after met somebody in an elevator and
he's like, I have some notes.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
You defeat Yoshi-P, and then Nomura reveals himself as the god.
He's that, Ultima. That yeah.
Yoshi-P
he's
has been
Artemis worshiping. The whole time.
Yeah. But is that what we're landing on then? Bahamut is second, and then Ultima is first?
I think so. I felt going in, I thought for sure Bahamut was going to be one. I thought I had a really good shot at it. But the more we talked through Ultima, I was like, yeah, actually, and coming to the realization, it's kind of best of both worlds, and it had a really cool Clive fight, and like really pretty badass spectacle going on too at the end of it. It kind of does it all.
Yeah, like I personally I think the Bahamut spectacle, like if it was just the icon fight of Ultima versus Bahamut, I think Bahamut would take it,
because yeah,
I think the Bahamut spectacle is cooler. Yeah. But then when you add in all the other stuff around Ultima,
yeah,
I think it evens out. And maybe that's not a fair comparison because the Ultima fight again is like 2 hours.
But there is no like I guess it's longer, but there is no like for Bahamut, there's no like you're not fighting Dion by himself or something, or
which I would have loved that. I feel like fighting Dion would have been cool.
Probably. I don't know, it just would have been another fucking dragoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would hope that they would do something more than, you know, just
he'd jump a second time or third time.
I would almost question whether one or if not both of those dragoon fights might have been Dion in some early concept.
Maybe
because it is a bit strange that there's just like two named dragoons that you fight at different points in the story, and aside from that you really don't
there's a hunt one.
Yeah,
there's one that's a hunt.
Oh yeah, there's a third one. Yeah, there's the hunt one that goes crazy.
Yeah, that's like, I'm here for the Emperor. And it's like, shit, he doesn't know what's going on, does he?
Yeah.
Boy, you're going to be waiting here for a while, son of Jim.
Yeah, they're all fucking dead.
Yeah. But there we go. Ultima is objectively the best boss fight
in the game. Yeah, in Final Fantasy 16.
They truly saved the best for last.
They did.
We aligned on a lot more than I expected. Yeah. So
well, things would have gone way differently if you guys would have fucking picked Benedict over Titan at the beginning. Let me tell you, I was ready to be done. I was going to be out. But that was, I thought you guys were going there. I was like, no fucking way. I'm going down with the ship on this one.
That's part of the reason I made that one of the first when I was seating it. I was like, that's a good time to kind of dive into my problems with some of the fights, with like the spectacle versus the technical. I think ultimately that's why, I like for example with Odin, I push for that one more because that one's a lot more of a technical fight than it is a spectacle fight. I think that's why I like that more.
So now we've got to ask. Rutledge, between Gigas or Ultima, what was your favorite fight between the very first boss, the fodder enemy, and the ultimate boss of the game? You know, what's the argument here?
I mean, I would go with Bahamut just because this fight sounded dope. Like, that would have been my number one.
None of the options you gave him.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
That's how good Bahamut is, I guess.
Yeah.
Always been like one of my favorite in the Final Fantasy series.
You should honestly, I think that the fight's like probably 15, 20 minutes. You should just
watch it.
Just watch
that fight.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, was like two or three phases in the Bahamut fight, right? Because there's like you're on the ground and then in the air as Phoenix and then in space.
In the air when you're above the crystal and stuff, you're fighting on the crystal.
Yeah.
I still think that was such a cool shot too, the crystal above the town, the city and stuff. Like, it's beautiful, cool stuff. Yeah, I like kept thinking the whole time with all those big mother crystals, like, fuck, those look so good, like, in a game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of wild what games look like now. Like, I saw those people were doing, like, comparison shots of, like, in-game 16 versus, like, Spirits Within. It's like, the game looks better and shit. It's pretty wild where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, that was even, like, I remember back in, like, the end cutscene of Kingdom Hearts 2, when you go from, like, the PS2 graphics to being on the beach in the World of Darkness, and it does that shift into the pre-rendered, and it's like, oh my God, Sora looks like a real human. This is amazing. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's fucking nothing.
Splice in the PC Gamer magazine. Did graphics get better than this? And it's like PS1 fucking 3D graphics.
It was like Unreal Tournament or something.
It was something like that, yeah.
Peak graphics.
Shitty 3D game. 3D model.
I mean, that's the thing with Final Fantasy, right? It's always like pushed
graphical boundaries. That's always been a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, and like, this is no different. This is like some of the best looking video gaming out there.
Back to the cutscenes of 8 and 9, and what they looked like for the time that they were in, and that was always like the
cutscene cinematics of Final Fantasy were always like one of the coolest parts of them.
Yeah.
If we're gonna be talking about the graphics of 16, that's a different day, different discussion that I will disagree with you on.
Okay.
I saw someone say these are like the best character models in a game. I'm like, no.
I think it's just like cohesive aesthetic. It all looks pretty
I'm not saying it looks terrible at all. No way. It looks awesome. But
But that's so let's just go through our top five, I think. And that's it objectively.
Yep. I'm on Wikipedia editing it in now.
Right now. fifth
please don't
best,
get us banned.
Fifth best fight, Clive versus Dark Clive. Number four, Clive versus Barnabas. Number three, the whole Titan fight. Number two, the Bahamut fight. And number one, the 2 hour long Ultima fight.
the end of it, the whole big thing.
Just the whole final bit.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's
so like also, let's end it with this. Do you think Clive's alive?
Oh, we want to talk about the story real quick. I kind of don't care.
Me neither. Austin was another guy on our staff was.
It's Gigas to you
talking to me about it. Yeah, and I was like, I honestly don't give a shit. I was like, I don't know. He could be. They talked about because it was weird at the end that says written by Joshua or whatever the whole story. I'm like, he's totally, he's really dead. But also, I was like, I don't know, is he? Because he's the Phoenix and Rebirth's the whole thing. I'm like, does he ever fucking die? I don't know. Who cares? And it's probably Clive because they talked earlier about how he's going to put down the sword and bring up the pen.
Right. And he's changed his name once, or like he's adopted the name Cid. So
yeah, he could change it again. Who knows?
Yeah, like I've read the theories about, oh, Clive is alive. Here's why, and it's like, sure, cool,
okay,
that's fine.
We never did actually see him die. We just saw part of him turn to stone.
Right.
That's it.
And we've seen other people turn to stone too. So it's like like parts of them, you know. So
We know Josh is dead because isn't that like why the whole like red star moon thing like winked out? And Jill started crying.
I thought that was the symbol of Clive erasing magic from the world.
I have no fucking idea what that meant. I have no idea. I tried looking it up and then I stopped because I was like, I actually don't care. So
hey, when it comes to games inspired by Nomura, it's best to just like get your own simple interpretation.
Was the symbol that like made Jill start running off and crying. I was like, oh, does that mean Clive's dead? The star winked out? I don't know.
I mean, there's even like I read someone who was like, well, wolves only howl to signal to other wolves to come back to them. And so
Torgal howling
signal for that's like a smoke
back,
signal
Clive.
Clive to come back.
Yes,
which is a symbol of him being alive still.
It could also just mean Torgal doesn't know he's fucking dead and wants Clive back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they kind of established that Torgal has a connection. To the powers, to the icons. I think in the same way.
I was kind of surprised we didn't have a Torgal fight. Like Torgal goes fucking crazy. Fight a big old wolf.
Torgal,
calm down, boy. It's me, Clive. Come on, you can imagine him saying that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's only part of me that wants Clive to still be around is only because if they release DLC that's not a prequel, I want to still play as Clive. Just because that's it's fun to play as
him. My guess is whatever DLC is just going to be like from the moment before the end of the game kind of DLC.
Probably,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then you'd get like the eighth or ninth icon power, Leviathan.
Oh, shit. I wonder if they'd add that to the Ultima fight.
I somehow doubt it, but that would be cool if they did.
I've seen a whole bunch of people already suspecting that the Leviathan icon holder is the girl who saved Dion. The medicine girl.
They kept cutting to her, and I remember you bring up the weird character wheel thing where all the connections to Clive and all the other characters, and she had her own from like the first time she showed. I'm like, what the fuck? I was expected more out of her, so there could be that's a good guess.
Yeah, people have been wondering whether and if she's gonna be, I mean, for Leviathan, a water icon. But yeah, maybe not. Who knows?
Leviathan was one of the cooler parts of 15. What a garbage game that was, but
well, that was a cool part.
I would argue one of the very few cool parts of it.
Yes. I remember talking to a friend, I was like, man, you know, Final Fantasy does spectacle, right? And this is the one time they did it in this game.
Now here's the real question. How does it rank amid all the Final Fantasy 16 fights?
It's not on this list.
It's not on the top five.
No.
No, that was very paint by numbers. No. Like, that felt like a gimme fight.
Yeah, I could see that. But that's our list of the best Final Fantasy 16 boss fights in the whole game.
Comment if you agree. Otherwise, we don't want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm curious. Yeah, if you disagree for some reason, let us know in the comments down below.
I guess you can let us know how wrong you are. But yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm, fair. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed. We hope you agree with this list, because if you don't, that you wouldn't be right.
Rut will cry. You'll make Rut cry.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Though. Actually, that's an incentive to disagree.
But yeah, that's our list of Final Fantasy 16 boss fights. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. And if you did, you know, please leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. That'd really help us out a lot. And share it with a friend or hit subscribe if you haven't already. And if you want more news, features, reviews, etc., we will be back next week to chat about whatever, honestly. But we'll see you on the pod then. Goodbye.